I have to say a special hello to Yerushalayim and to Ramat Beit Shemesh, because I never realized, they were very upset that I never mentioned them, but that there are a bunch of women that actually watched this year at 5:20 in the morning in Ramat Beit Shemesh. So hello everybody in Ramat Beit Shemesh and Yerushalayim and everybody else that's listening. Baruch Hashem, whoever was at the dinner, we made a big macha. It was packed. It happened the last 4 or 5 days. A lot of people signed up, and I don't know how successful financially it was yet, but it was definitely successful, and it was very beautiful, and we really thank everybody who sent in donations, and specifically everyone who came. We had like 200 people 5 days before, and I think we ended up with something like 600 people, so it was really, really very nice. We want to thank everybody. And I apologize again for once again being late. It's just this time of year. There's so many simchas, and I have to go to all of them. And Mitzvah Shem, we're making my own simcha next week. So, thank you. So it's a little hectic. All right. This week's Pasha is Pasha's Korach, the Pasha of Machlekes. So I'm going to dig a little bit into Pasha's Korach, but I also happen to have been in the five towns this week, and I was actually invited to speak at a kinnis, at a group like they had in City Field. Of course, it wasn't City Field, it was much smaller, but the Mashkiach from Lakewood was there, and that was a very big honor to speak on the same podium as him. And I'd like to talk a little bit, before we get into the parasha, about this whole internet filter, this whole kinnis that they had here in Brooklyn, in the Aguda. It was also full. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I said at this kinnis, which I think is really important, which I think is very, very connected to last week's Dvar Torah, when I spoke about waking up in the morning, getting out of your grave, getting out of your bed, getting out of your grave, and appreciating life. And I think this is very, very connected. So they had this kinnis in City Field, 60,000 people. 20,000 people somewhere else, I think it was like 80,000 people altogether, about putting filters on your phones, filter on your internet, filter at work. They were pushing very much filters. They really didn't want to say that internet is usher, because they don't feel that people could follow the internet as usher, and a lot of people need it for work. So we spoke about this, I asked my Rebbe if I should push it, and he said that whether anybody changes or doesn't change is not up to us, but that you should push it, and that people should go and make a macha, a protest, say to Hashem, I'm not happy with the way it's going in Klal Yisrael, I'm not happy with what the internet's doing to the world. Everybody should be there to make a protest. So they asked me this past Sunday to speak in the in Lawrence, in the five towns. So I scared them very much, because Rabbi Tzio spoke first, but then Rabbi Dishon spoke, two very big tzaddikim, and then Wallerstein showed up. So
they announced me on the radio.
Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam Shehachanu Yevaro.
Amen.
Okay, good. So I got up and I said the following, and I think that this is very, very important, especially going into the summer altogether. And I said that I don't think that the problem is a filter or not a filter. I think that one of our problems today is that no matter what we're trying to fix, we're very busy with the symptoms, but we're not really busy with the disease. And a symptom, if you fix it in one place, it pops out in another place. You have to fix the disease. And I with all respect to Matasio and to everyone else that spoke in City Field, I don't think that they address the disease. They addressed filters. And of course, everyone here knows that if you want to see something on the internet that you're not supposed to, so if there's a filter on your computer, so you go on somebody else's computer that doesn't have a filter. Or you go to the library, right? Which the United States of America decided that you don't have to have any filters, and any kid can go to the library and watch anything that he wants. They expect the librarian to make sure that minors are not watching things that they're not supposed to. But the librarian's usually so old that they can't even see past the front desk. So they definitely can't see what the kid is watching, and she's not Jewish, the librarian, so she doesn't really care that much what you're watching. So kids know that. All of a sudden, kids are going to the libraries. In my day, you had to force us to go to the library. Today, everybody has a library card. And then you got kids who go to Staples, you know, to the Staples store. No, I'm serious. You see kids there, Jewish kids, and they have computers because they sell computers. And these kids go on, and they can go anywhere they want. So they're sitting there in Staples. You got 20 little kids on the computer. So a person who wants to watch something nasty, filters are not going to stop them because they know how to get around filters. They know how to buy a phone at CVS for $20 and for $3.99 get internet. If you want to do the wrong thing, there's no filter that's going to stop you. So the bottom line is, if we can figure out why you want to do the wrong thing, and we can stop you from wanting to do the wrong thing, then you're not going to need a filter. I don't have a filter. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a filter. But the reason I don't have a filter is because I don't have a computer. So if you don't have a computer, you don't need a filter. I don't have a computer. Somebody was very upset this week. I went to someone's house to raise money. And he came to the dinner. When I saw him by the dinner, so I thanked him. I thanked him very much for coming to the dinner. And he said to me, "That's all you're thanking me for?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, what else should I thank you for?" He says, "You have nothing else to thank me for?" I'm like, "Thank you for coming to the dinner." He said, "You didn't get my email?" So he must have sent me an email on how much money he's giving me. But I don't have email. So I said, "I don't have email." He said, "Well, I sent the email to Ornava." I said, "I know, but I don't get the emails. Avivit gets the emails. I just have one of these, right? It's an antique. It's worth a lot of money. It's very old." I said, "I don't have a BlackBerry because I don't want to be put in a situation where I'm being tested. So, not because I'm an old guy, because there are guys my age that are so sophisticated and have such computer knowledge, forget about it. Big boys play with little toys. Little boys play with little toys. Big boys play with big toys. So the older you are, it's very easy and you have money, so you buy all the brand new crazy computers and crazy phones that you could get. So that's not the reason I don't have a computer. The reason I don't have a computer is, first of all, I deal with girls. And I don't want anyone sending a picture on if I had emails, any person could send me any picture they want. This way, it goes to Avivit. Anyone sends a picture, it goes into the garbage. She doesn't bring me, she has my emails. She doesn't bring me nasty emails. So whatever she puts on my desk is already cleared. So pretty much, I protected myself. So I'm not interested in seeing these things, so I don't need a filter. So the question is, how come Rabbi Wallace, what, you're not normal? Why don't you want to see these things? Everybody in the world wants to see these things, and you don't want to see these things? What, you're so religious? I'm not so religious. So why don't you want to see these things? That's a little bit what I want to talk about. Why don't I have my own in business? It's terrible. Because I do business with big companies, and they're like, "What's your email?" I can't tell them Rebbe Wallerstein at Ornava. That's not going to fly. So I give them my brother-in-law's name and email. They're like, "You don't have your own email? You're the president of the company?" And I'm like, "No." And they're like, shocked. So I'm going to explain to you, Manishtana. I'm not any more religious than anybody else. And I think if we get to the core of this, then we'll understand what's driving this whole generation, what's driving this problem. Now the filter, I'm not against filters, because there's a Gemara. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, if a man wants to do a sin with a woman, it's a Gemara, he should dress himself from head to toe in black, and he should go to a far away city. And there he should do the sin. Not you should do the sin, but if that's what you want to do, that's what you should do. So I remember asking a question. None of my rabbis ever told me, "Oh, you want to do a sin? Put on your black turtleneck, your black jeans, your black shoes, get a ticket to Miami, and go do a sin." They're like, "Chas v'shalom! Such an Aveira, it's going to affect you for life. Don't you dare," right? What Rebbe tells a kid, "You want to do a sin, get dressed in black and go to Mexico," right? So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara should say, a man wants to do a sin, you're not allowed to do it. Jump into a cold ocean, I don't know, cool yourself off. You can go dressed in black and go to a city and do a sin. What's going on? What's the Gemara saying here? So they asked the question on the Gemara. Gemara should say, if a girl came up here and said, listen, Wallace, I really want to do something wrong. Okay, dress in black and go to faraway city. Look at me, are you crazy? Talk me out of it. That's why I came up to you. Talk me out of it. Give me a Musa schmooze. Give me a Musa sefer to learn. No, dress in black and go to faraway city. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying something that's very practical that you need to know. Gemara is saying, what's the strength of the Yetzirah? What's his power? So when Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach, with the angel, so it wasn't a physical fight, because a Malach is not physical, and you're not beating a Malach. He doesn't have muscles, he doesn't work out, right? You're not beating a Malach. So the fight that Yaakov Avinu was having with the Malach was a spiritual fight. Now everybody thinks that Yaakov Avinu won. Yaakov Avinu didn't win. Yaakov Avinu only had the strength to hold the Satan down. But it seems to be that when we read this story, the way we learned it, if you go over to any kid and say, who won between the angel and Abraham and Isaac when they had the fight? Everybody will tell you, Jewish, not Jewish, will tell you that Jacob won the fight. But he didn't win. The Malach won. The Malach, the angel, the Satan, hit him in the thigh, dislocated his thigh, and then he flew back up to Shemayim. So Yaakov limped away, and the Malach went up to say Shira. So who won? The Malach won. Yaakov got hurt. The Malach didn't get hurt. So what did why do we think that Yaakov won? Anyone here know why? What do you think? Why? He what? He got a blessing from him. Okay. That's one way of looking at it. You think he wanted he went into this fight to get a blessing from the Satan? It's good that he got one. But he didn't win the fight. How did he win the fight? Yes.
Didn't his name be changed to show that he won? Yisrael?
Absolutely. So I'm asking you.
I'm saying that's where we learn it.
Right, but what did he win? If we look at the fight, he didn't win. I agree with you. He called him Yashakel. So that's the question. It means that he won, but he lost. He got hurt, and the Malach went back to Shemayim whole. Where did he win? Let me tell you something amazing tonight. Yes?
You said it was a spiritual fight, but he got physically hurt. So that wasn't really the fight that he was fighting.
So actually he got spiritually hurt. He got physically hurt, but he actually got spiritually hurt. What the Malach did to him was, the Malach said, I can't beat you. They were fighting a whole night. It says they fought a whole night. I can't beat you, but I can beat your children. So the Medrash says, and the Zohar says, that the hitting him in his groin, his thigh, represented, I can't, Yaakov, you're too strong, but your children are going to fall to me. So the dislocation of his groin meant the dislocation of his children. 2012, what's going on in our generation is what the Satan said. I can't get you, but I can get them in the United States in 2012. I can get them internet, into Facebook, into movies, into phones on Shabbos, into intermarriages, into assimilation. So you I can't beat. So it was a representation when he dislocated his thigh. It was physical, but it was more spiritual. He hurt him. Because he said, I can't get you, but I'm going to get all of us. So where's the win? So I'm going to tell you where the win is, and that answers the Gemara's question. The win is that he was able to hold the Malach down until sunrise. And the Malach at sunrise said, I have to go say Shira, let me go. And he said, give me a bracha, and he gave him a bracha, and he let him go. So what's the win that he held the Malach down? At the end, the Malach gave him a whack. So the win is as follows. Yaakov asked the Malach, okay, so now you're telling me that you're going to hurt my children. You can't hurt me, but you're going to hurt my children. So I need to know something from you. What is your essence? What's your power? What's your specialty? So he asked him, Mashmecha, what's your name? What does that mean? Person's name is who he is. Whatever your name is in Hebrew, that has a lot to do with what your essence is. And that's why it says that before a child is named, when they have to mother, when they have to aunt, and there's this argument to name it, and then the last minute, I have a good name. And all of a sudden they agree on the name, and it happens all the time. The name is sent down from Shemayim because that's who you are. Your name is who you are. So he asked the Malach, okay, so tell me, you're going to hurt my children? Who are you? What's your essence? What's your power? So the Malach answered him, Lama ze tishal lishmi? Why are you asking me my name? Now, Malachim don't have brains, and Malachim don't think. They're sent on a shlichus, they're sent on a job. They don't process on their own. They're sent with a computer chip in their brain from Hashem. This is what you have to do. They can't say, well, maybe I should do it later, maybe I should do it tomorrow. That they don't process. So what kind of answer was he? And he wasn't a Jewish malach. If it's a Jewish malach, you could say, okay, Jewish malachim, you ask them a question, they answer with a question. Because that's what Jews do. You ask me a question, we ask you. So why do you need to know, right? But this malach was definitely not a Jew. He was Esau's malach. So what's this answer? What's this answer? Why are you asking me my name? Because I'm asking you your name. Tell me your name. So we learned a long time ago that he wasn't asking him back a question, but he was answering the question. Yaakov said, what is your essence? He said, my essence is Lama Ze Tishal Shmi. My name is, why are you asking questions? Like Nike. Just do it. Don't think. No thinking process. You want to do it? You want gratification? Do you want to eat this? Do you want to make a phone call on Shabbos? Whatever that is, there. You want to watch this DVD? Whatever it is you want to do, don't think about it. His power, his essence, he told Yaakov, my essence is immediate gratification. Don't think about it. So he said, you want to know my name? Lama Ze Tishal. Don't ask any questions. It's party time. Just start figuring, well, how is it going to affect my life? How is it going to affect my kids? How is it going to affect my soul? How is it going to affect my next world? Lama Ze Tishal Shmi, you want to know my name? What's my essence? Don't think. So now, how did Yaakov win the fight? He held them down a whole night. He did it. There was no immediate. He tried to talk him into forgetting about Hashem. He tried to talk him into being a kafui, to be a total denial of everything. And Yaakov Avinu had the power not to react, to hold him down a whole night. Until the Malach said, I'm not going to get you because a person who's able to put me on hold, I'm not going to get in the end. So you I'm not going to get, but I'll get your kids. You see, because on that little computer, there's a button. And the button is called Enter. And you can't go anywhere without pushing Enter. Because the Satan created a world, a fake world on the internet. And after 120 years, when you come up to Shemayim and you're going to say, yeah, I went to that site, and I went to that site, and I wasted 7 hours on the computer last night, but Hashem, my parents, they didn't have this test. They didn't have computers. It's not my fault. And the Satan, who is the prosecutor, is going to be standing right next to you, your friend. He's going to say, I didn't do anything. She pressed enter. I didn't press enter. I didn't tell her to go to that website. She sat at her computer. She pushed the button. I didn't do anything. You're right. I created, I'm the Satan. I created this terrible world. I didn't force her to push that button. I didn't force her to push the on button on her computer and then type in those letters looking for certain things and then push enter. Well, you're right. My job was to create a fake world. I didn't tell her to go there. She entered that world on her own. So what are you going to say? What are you going to answer when you see your finger pushing enter? When you see your finger Googling or looking for the certain website that you're not supposed to be on? You're going to blame him? He didn't move your fingers. So he created this web, this net, where everybody gets caught, but you can't get caught. I can't get caught. I can't get caught. Because I don't enter his world. Because I don't have internet. I don't have an enter button. Because I don't have a computer. So he did create this crazy world. Wild thing could walk into that world in 1 second. I could walk into that world. Get myself a computer. I'm done. Get myself a BlackBerry. I can walk into that world. Same world that you're all in. I can walk into the same world. I just got to push enter and type a couple of letters. Today, you don't got to do much. Just Google the first two letters, and it starts writing for you everything that you need to look at. So the question is, why? Why don't I want to enter that world? You're all in Disneyland. You're all going into this fake world. How come Wallstein doesn't want to go into this fake world? I don't have a Yetzirah. I'm a big tzaddik. I'm not a big tzaddik. And that's the root of the disease. And if we get to the root of the disease, then we don't have a problem. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. Gemara is telling us that we learned from Yaakov Avinu that if someone has a fire in them and they want to do a sin, if on the spot you're going to tell them, you can't do it, they're going to do it anyway. So what do you tell them? You could do it. But to do it, you got to first get dressed, go for a long ride. If you're able not to react immediately, then you won't do it. And that's what Yaakov taught us by that war. He just could hold the Malach down. And the Malach said in the morning, I see I cannot beat you. How do you know you can't beat me? It's because you're able to hold me down. You're able not to react immediately. So the Gemara is saying, if we're going to tell this person, no, you can't do this Aveira, you're going to end up in Gehenna, he's doing that Aveira. He's burning. But if we tell him, you got to take this step, and then you got to take this step, and then you got to get on a wagon and a horse, and then you got to go travel to another city, and then you're a stranger in that city. So everyone's like, why is he in this city? Right? Nah, it's not worth it. Because you delayed it. So the filter doesn't really have a power to stop you from seeing the wrong things, because you can go anywhere you want to see the wrong things. What does the filter do? The filter gives you another step that you got to get by. I heard that by one of the Asifas, I think it was in Muncie. So they have this canine filter. So they were showing off, the guys who knew how to use it, who came. So they were showing off how with a canine filter, your mamish can't go anywhere. And this kid in the crowd comes up. He says, let me show you how to break canine. And you had these guys that were selling the canine. That's what they do. And he went up to the computer and he broke it. He went through the canine. He says, I learned how to do this a long time ago. Kids have fantastic logic. They can get into the CIA Pentagon. You think they can't get past K-9? But, if you have a filter... So one of my friends, I was at one of my friends' house the other day. So I wanted to send him from Ornava a copy of the video that we were going to play by the dinner. So I called somebody in Ornava and I said, email him a copy of what we're playing in the dinner. So they emailed it to him. And he has K9. So he tried to play it, but K9 blocks anything that's streaming. So since this video is streaming, it said, cannot play this video. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll have to wait till the dinner. He goes, no, I have the code to disengage my K9. So they're like, why do you have it? He says, no, you have to get the code to disengage it because you might need it for something in business and it's being blocked and you might have to take, might be an emergency, you might have to take it off. So I'm like, so if you have the code, anytime you really want to do the wrong thing, you're just going to disengage it. He says, no, I'll tell you the truth. If I want to look at the wrong thing, I have to disengage my filter. I feel double guilty to Hashem. In other words, I have a filter and now I'm taking a step to disengage. Like, it's like jumping over a fence to steal something. If there's something in the street, right, there's $10 in the street, so you're going to pick it up. If there's $10 in someone's yard and there's a fence, you got to go climb the fence to get the 10 bucks. You're not going to climb the fence. Not because you're going to get hurt, but it's like as you're climbing the fence, you're feeling guilty. You're looking at the $10, like, what am I doing? But if the $10 on the floor, you put it in your pocket right away. That's his koyach. His koyach is immediate. So the filter, it helps. It slows you down. You got to get past the filter. But at the end of the day, it's definitely not the cure. Because you can get around it very easy. It's not the cure. So I got up there, so they were already like getting all upset because I'm coming here to talk about filters, And Wallerstein's getting up and saying, it's not about filters. So the rabbis that hired me were like, well, why did we ask this guy to get up there? Like, he's supposed to be talking about pushing filters. And he's saying, you know, filters are good, but they're not that good. So I said the following, and I think it's very, very important. So you have two worlds, girls. It's two worlds. You have a real world that Hashem created in 6 days. And then you have a fake world, totally fake, that man made. And you have a choice in life, which one you want to live in. You can't live in both. One's real, one's fake. You want to be fake, you're fake. You want to be real, you're real. You can't live in both. So the question is, why would I, as a human being, push enter the fake world if I'm living in the real world? Because I'm not happy in the real world. Either I don't have good self-esteem, or I'm going through stuff. For whatever reason, I'm looking to escape the real world so I can go into this fake world now that something made the fake world so fake that you can recreate yourself. You can Photoshop anyone's face on your body, or you can Photoshop anyone's body on your face. And then you can go stand in front of Maserati in the Hamptons with a big, beautiful house. And I know this 13-year-old kid who looks like, on the picture, on his Facebook page, that he's a 19-year-old Latin model. And he's got a picture of a Lamborghini in front of a huge mansion in the Hamptons. Now, I know this kid. He didn't even have 25 cents to lend me to buy a bag of potato chips. So I'm like, where did this come from? And he doesn't pay tuition in school. I'm like, this picture gets you a lot of trouble. Because if the administrator of school sees that you have a Lamborghini in front of that mansion, they're going to take full tuition. So he Photoshopped everything. So he's very happy because he's this gorgeous Latin 19-year-old guy who has a Lamborghini in front of a mansion, but he's really a 13-year-old skinny little runt who lives in a teeny little house and never drove a car because he's 13 years old. He can live in this fantasy. He can create this fantasy world. And this is what the Satan, in his brilliance, created. So a person who is happy who he is and doesn't have to Photoshop himself, and he doesn't have to take pictures in front of things because he's happy with who he is and he's working on what. If I can Photoshop and I can do all this stuff, then why do I need to earn money? Why do I need to do anything? Why need to grow up? If I'm 13 and everyone who's looking at my picture thinks I'm 19 and I'm getting pictures from all over the world because now everybody wants to marry me because I look like a model and I have a gorgeous car and I'm getting pictures from people with their names and send me, and you know, everyone wants to go on a shidduch with this guy until he shows up and he's 13 years old and he weighs like 72 pounds, then you're going to be like, and he came to pick you up on his bicycle or his tricycle, right? So why do we do that? And the answer is because we're not able to live in the real world. And therefore every person has to think about, Hashem created a world in 6 days and he put me in that world. Why do I need to run to this fake place? The girl had 900 friends on Facebook. And I killed them all in 1 minute, in 10 seconds. I pulled the plug and the screen went black. Like the end of the world. I thought I was back in Noah's time. I destroyed her world in a second. It's not real. Anything that you could shut off is not real. I can't shut you girls off in this room. But on a screen, I could shut you off. And on a Skype, I could shut you off. So it's not real. I can't shut anyone off in this room, make them disappear. Some of my friends, I'd love to do it, but I can't. Real friends, real people. You can't turn anything off in the real world. Do you know that? You cannot turn anything off. You can't turn a tree off. You can't turn the sun off. You can't turn the sky off. You cannot turn anything off because it is three-dimensional. It's created by God, and therefore it's there. When he's ready to get rid of it, you can't get rid of it. You can't make anything disappear unless you're a magician. And there's no real magic in the world. I'm probably the only person in the world that can make things disappear. I have to admit it. Many times I came into a room, it was full, I started speaking, everybody disappeared. Rabbi joke. But seriously, you cannot make a real thing. Some people on the way home will get it, they'll start laughing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And some people tomorrow morning at breakfast will tell them, why are you laughing? Rabbi Wallerstein said something last night. I didn't hop what he said. It's very funny, but it's very, very, very sad. So the reason I don't need to be on the internet is because I really love Hashem's real world. I love a leaf, and I love a tree, and I love a flower, and I love a butterfly, and I love smelling things. The internet doesn't smell, it doesn't rain in the internet. If it rains, the whole computer goes cuckoo-rucoo, you lose everything, right? You can't handle water. There's no, I was sitting on Sunday, I was preparing a Dvar Torah, I was sitting in my backyard, and I was learning. And there was someone in the other backyard behind me who was sitting there on his computer the whole time while I was learning. And I was sitting there, and I was just like, the wind was blowing. I was like, it's amazing. In the real world, you don't even realize it sometimes you're sitting there. Today we could have used a little more wind, right? There's wind. There's no wind in the internet. Yes, they can make a picture of leaves blowing, but there's no wind. It's a lie. The whole thing is a lie. It's not real. So if you need it for business, and you need to type your term paper, not the one that you got on the internet, the one that you wrote, right? So if you need to type your term paper and you need to do business on the internet, no problem. There's nothing wrong with it. But you got to be healthy. If you're not healthy, then that enter button is going to be looking at you. Come, enter my world. I'm not telling you that you can't have internet. I can't have internet because I deal with girls and I don't want stuff coming to my, you know, I don't want people writing me stuff and sending me pictures. I'm not interested in that. So I have to protect myself. But a normal person who's healthy, who's a healthy person who likes to be in Hashem's world and has self-esteem, you could do your business on the internet. You could do your work in school on the internet. At the end of the day, it's not something you could tell people. It's like in the times there were horses telling people you can't get into a car. It's silly. It's here. It's technology. I'm not telling you that you can't use technology. But if you're not healthy, you're not happy where you are, and you're not enjoying what Hashem created, then you can't go there because that other world is like, come to me, you can be whoever you want. You can watch a movie. You can sit and cry about people who are dying, but they're not. Because the same actress is in the next movie. And now she's a superhero. Right? And people... Think about it. Think about the malachim watching a movie theater full of Jewish girls and Jewish women who decided they need to go to see a good crying movie. Right? We call it a good cry. And you have all these girls came back from Eretz Yisrael and all these women and they go together and it's a clean movie. It's a clean movie. It's very sad. She died from cancer. Her dog died from cancer. Then he died from cancer. Everybody in the movie died from cancer, and your mamish, they're giving out tissues in the place, crying, and Nebuch, all the guys that you schlepped to see the movie, guys can't cry, so they're all laughing, because we laugh when we really want to cry, right? So the guys are laughing, the women are crying, and they're like, she was, this is a sad movie. No, we have to go out to eat right now. Ice cream, I need ice cream. I'm like, I'm broken, right? So all the malachim are watching this, and they're like, that's what you're wasting a tear on? Do you know that a tear could break the whole Shemayim open? A tear could save anyone on the Refuah Shleima list? You know what a tear? Power of a tear in the next world? And you're crying about an actress who right after she did the act of, you know, dying, whatever it is, they said, cut! Done! Okay, she gets out. Okay, let me get my pizza. You're crying over that person. If you don't believe me, one of my proof of Tchias HaMeisim, one of my proofs in Anima of Tchias HaMeisim, if you go to a movie and the actress dies and you cry and then you stay for the next movie, the same movie when it, 20 minutes later starts again, she's back. And then if you watch that whole movie and you cry again and you wait another 20 minutes, because usually movies play about 5 times. You mamash see Tchias HaMeisim, the same person dies and comes back 5 times. And you can go back the next day and she's back again 5 times. And sometimes in a 7-plex where they have 7 movies, she died in this one. In this one, she's flying. In this one, she's a cowboy. And she's like, wow, this is amazing. She went to heaven, now she's a cowboy, and she came back. And it's like, so we don't think. That's the whole thing of the Satan. You're not thinking. I'm telling you something, Chiddush. You go to those movies, and you read those books. And it says, fiction. It's not true. I'm telling you beforehand. The book you're about to read is not true. I'm so sad. It's not true. I know, but it's so sad, Rabbi Wallenstein. It's not sad if it's not true. Think about it for a second. If it's not true, can it be sad? No. My poet, you see? And if it's not true,
It can't be happy. Because it never happened. It's fiction. It's not real.
It's like fake flowers.
Right. It's like fake flowers. They don't smell. You don't have to water them. But at the end of the day, they're fake. And you don't want to give, you don't want your chassan to bring you a dozen fake flowers. Because then I think you're having a fake relationship. You want them to buy real flowers. So there's no such thing as a sad movie if it's not true. You want a sad movie?
Rabbi, question.
No questions in the middle of the shiur. What do you think this is? What do you think, this is a class? I'm going to have to say what I have to say. How are you? What's your question? Go ahead. I'm kidding. What's your question? How could you have real emotions about something that didn't really happen? But it's not. So, what you're saying is that you are willing to give real emotions that Hashem gave you for real things that are sad, you're willing to give those real emotions for something that doesn't even exist. That sounds even worse. That sounds worse. So you want a real movie? I'll give you an unbelievable movie to go to tomorrow. It's called Sloan Kettering Memorial in the city, where there are people with real cancer. There's a guy there that I know, is a good friend of mine, has probably the worst cancer of any human being right now in the whole world. It's not even something that it's humanly possible to comprehend. He is suffering. He has this weird skin cancer where I don't want to go into, you can't look at him. He's being eaten up a lot. You can't even look at him. You want to cry?
What's his name?
I can tell you afterwards. If you're really going to go visit him, I'll tell you his name and his room number. I'll give you the name afterwards. I don't know if he does. I'll give you his name afterwards. You should go. He would love to have visitors. People can't walk in there.
The thing is, that's too real. That's why we would watch movies. Because we know that.
But maybe if you saw him, then maybe you'd go say real Tehillim and you cry. For real. Movies are not real. It's fake. You're wasting what Hashem gave you. The most precious thing a human being has is emotions. You're wasting it. Throwing it on the floor, you're wasting it for nothing. It's not real. You're crying over something that didn't happen. So you want real? I give you plenty of real. And it doesn't have to be kids with cancer. You can work with autistic kids, and you can work with Down syndrome kids, and you can work in many hospitals with not those crazy diseases, with other diseases. And you can work with very old people that can't get out of their beds, can go to the bathroom, and you can change their bedpan. That's pretty sad. You can't go to the bathroom, right? So a lot of girls say, I can't do that because it's real. So if you can't do that, you can't do that. But you definitely, everybody in this room that's sitting in here right now, can definitely, for the last 3 weeks, have tutored a first, second, or third grader that's struggling. There's nobody in here that doesn't have the knowledge of first grade math. Do you know how many children in the last 3 weeks that were having finals that were struggling and needed tutors, and their parents don't have $50 an hour, or $70 an hour, or $90 an hour, so they couldn't, and they have 9 children? So they could not have their children tutored, and these children failed. And every girl in this room and every woman in this room could have given 2 hours last week and gone into Mesorah or into any school and said, I'm not a teacher, but if you need any kids that need to help in reading or math or in social studies or Hebrew Chumash, I'll give you 2 hours. How are you going to answer to Hashem that last week, combined and everything, you're on your phone for 19 hours, and you're on the internet for 10. You didn't help one of his children who is struggling in school.
Why aren't they getting services? It's free services. His children
are
P3s.
Yeah, not everyone can get P3s.
Why not?
It takes a long time to get P3s. And most yeshivas and most kids and their parents have no idea. If you told them what P3 is, they think it's a parking lot in Kennedy Airport. They have no idea what it is. They don't know what it is.
Why did they give me an F in first grade?
Did they give you an F in first grade?
Why
are you asking me? Oh, why are they giving them an F in first grade? Because they failed.
But that's,
right. So we're going to change the whole chinuch world. So forget that. give you 2-3 hours to the kids. Don't give me advice. Don't come up with, and I'm thinking personally, that's what everyone does. Well, why did they do this? And what? Well, why don't you give up 3 hours and teach a kid? Stop asking me questions. I'm not a malach. I'm not the malach. I'm not yelling at you. I'm saying that's what we get. That's what we all react. Normally, you're like, okay, listen. But they don't know. They don't know. So you know what? So someone needs to go around to the schools and say, I am willing to talk to the classes about getting services. Because most people have no idea what P3 is. Now, I'm talking about first, second, and third graders because that nobody has an excuse. There's a lot of high school girls that are very weak. And a girl, I'm sure there's a lot of intelligent girls here that go to college. You can help them with their biology region. Do you know what it means to a fourth grader that some girl shows up or some woman shows up, and even if you're retired and you're a grandmother, shows up at their door and says, hi, I'm your tutor, and the parents know that you're there for free, and you sit with that girl for 2 hours, and you help her pass her final. Do you know that when she comes home with her 70, the first person she's going to call is you? Hi, Mrs. Friedman. It's Chani. Remember? You taught me last week. I got my first 70. You're going to be dancing. When she hangs up the phone, you're going to cry. You're going to take tissues, and you're going to cry for real. That's a good cry. It's a real person. Not a movie. Not a DVD. It's fake. I don't want to live in the fake world. I only have a certain amount of time. God took 6 days to create the most crazy world. I would love to see the whole world. I would love to go to Australia, and I would love to go to Alaska, and I would love to see the Alps, and I would love to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. 6 days, you created crazy stuff. In Flatbush, this past Shabbos, I don't know how many of you live in Flatbush, you could not walk down a block in Flatbush without thinking that you're in a perfume room. There were these trees that were flowering. They smelled amazing. Not if you have allergies, but otherwise, amazing. It was like Gan Eden. And I was on Shabbos. I was walking, and I was told my son-in-law, we're walking, they're like, smells, I don't know the halacha with the bracha. I don't know if the bracha, you have to go to the actual flower, but or just the ear. So I was like, I don't know if we have to make a bracha. And the other people, they're just walking. They never knew that it smells. They didn't look to see where the smell's coming from. They live in that fake world the whole week. We live in a crazy world. Magnificent world. I am not interested in watching a sunrise on a screensaver. Or a bunch of fish in the water, and then when I touch the screen, my fingers don't even get wet. It's fake. So you need to go into yourself. This is what I spoke about. You need to go into yourself and say, why am I running and entering his world that isn't real? And believe me, if you ask that question, you will know the answer. Every single person will have a different answer. We're all running away from something else. Stop running away from yourself and start running towards yourself. You might meet someone special. You. And that's why I don't need internet. I'm not interested. I'd love to see more of the real world. That's the basic problem. Disease, the disease is that I need to push that button and I need to enter that world. And once I'm in that world, I can't get out. I don't know how to get out. It doesn't have an exit button on your computer. There's no word that says exit, is there?
Escape.
Not exit. You have to escape because you're a prisoner. Look at the words. I didn't write them. Who escapes? A person who walks out on his own? Escape means you have to run away. Escape means you're a prisoner. I didn't write the computer. So you're in a net. You're in a web. You have to escape. So they're like printing it for you. They're like telling you. But something's telling you, hello? You're in a web. You're in a net. You need to escape. And you're like, eh. I entered on my own. So that's what I said. I said, filter is very important, but you need to know why. Why you need to be there for 8 hours? You know what you could do in 8 hours? The ladies, do you know what you could do in this world in 8 hours? You know how many kids you can make smile? It's crazy. You could be a nurse. You could be in a hospital. Ruth is in a hospital. She could tell you what it means right, a volunteer in a hospital, to walk into a room and bring somebody a coffee, or they're hungry, or my wife used to go to NYU. She used to volunteer for Chai Lifeline at NYU. What did she bring with her friend to NYU? What did she bring already? Chocolate danishes. Get kids with cancer. So she came to NYU with chocolate danishes every Thursday. It's not the end of the world. You don't know how many people we met at weddings, and the mother of the child that was having, who got the chocolate danish? Not the kid. The kid's not eating. The kid's not eating. The cancer patient's not really eating. Who got the danishes? The father and the grandfather and the mother who's sitting there a whole day and a whole day and a whole day. And you come in with danishes, and you come with a tuna fish sandwich, and you mamish mechaya them. And I can't tell you how many times I went to a wedding, and somebody would come over and say, "That's your wife?" You don't understand. When I was in NYU, she came every Thursday, and she brought me a chocolate danish, and I was always looking forward to it. I'm like, all right, chocolate danish. And you're sitting there for hours, texting and on the phone, and all of a sudden, your life is over. And Hashem gave you this most precious thing called time. He let you out of your kever in the morning. He woke you up in the morning. And where are we? We're on a phone. This is dead. This is a piece of garbage. This is a piece of metal. If it falls in the toilet, it's dead. You got to put it in a bed of rice, and that doesn't even work. And I know someone this week where it fell into water, and there's a guy in Bottle Park, he can retrieve your numbers, $250. Ransom. You want your numbers? $250. So this is life. This is not life. So you have to realize that. If you realize that, you already took a very big step. There's so much that you can do. Teach a little kid. I'm telling you, you don't understand what it means to little kids. To help them, the parents. Like, this angel walked into my house. She's an angel. I know such an angel. She walked into my house. She went to the school. She told the school, if you have any kids that you know need tutoring, I happen to be in math very brilliant. I'll tutor any kid from first to eighth grade. I'll even tutor your high school girls. So they called her up. She went to this house. And this woman, the mother, when she walked in, she said, "I want you to know you're an angel." This girl has never in her life been called by her own mother, her own father, or anybody ever in school an angel. Ever. So why is she an angel? Because she decided on her own that Hashem gave me time in the real world. Now I'm going to give someone else time. And I could keep talking about this. And I keep talking about it. And I spoke about it in Lawrence. And they all came over to me afterwards. "You changed my life. And you changed the way I'm thinking. I didn't realize that, you know, what I could do in 7 hours. And I've heard this so many times. And by the time you're at that door, you're looking at all your messages that you had in the last hour that Wyatt Wallerstein was speaking. Because Mamash, the world is being destroyed. Iran just bombed the whole world. And you need to get those messages and to know what miklat you need to run to. Because who knows what happened in the last hour." So I'm begging everyone that's watching. And I'm begging all of you. I didn't get into Pashas Karach. I'm really sorry about it. But I'm begging you to come back to the real world. There's so much good that you can do here. There's so much stuff that you can do here. Just with your time. And there's nobody in this room that cannot teach a first grader. I will not accept that. ABC, 1 + 1 = 2. Everyone here knows that. Or even a little teeny kid to help them draw in a crayon book. You don't understand what's going on in this generation. You don't understand how kids are so dysfunctional and so disconnected that anybody that will walk into their life and give them a little attention at 5 years old, you're an angel. So it's time for us to start being an angel. And it's time for us to realize that the strength to fight the Yetzer Hara is not to react immediately. I asked all these rabbis, I'll end with this. I said to them, I want to ask you a question. I asked them, this whole crowd, there were like 1,500 people there. And I asked this question, they were all like, I'm like, why we're making a knesia about the internet and filters? Why don't we ask anyone to go to ShopRite? You're not allowed to go to ShopRite. You're not allowed to go to Walmart, especially in the mountains. Why don't we ask them? So why should we ask them? There are 5,000 non-kosher different foods in a ShopRite. How come we're not worried
my daughter's going to go to ShopRite, shopping for Shabbos, that she's not going to eat lobster, shrimp, pork, pig's feet, all this garbage that they sell in ShopRite. How come none of you are going to buy any of that stuff? We don't got to buy filters. We don't have to ask for ShopRite. We don't have to say you can only go to a kosher store. How come there's no problem going to a store that's full of 1,000 different unkosher products, but to go to the internet that has 1,000 unkosher sites? Oh, filters. Walmart in the mountains in Liberty? Now when people go up there, you can't even get in there, right? Well, the Hasidim, everyone's shopping there. Do you know that the first thing, when you walk into Walmart, on the right-hand side, you know what's on the right-hand side? When you walk into Walmart, anyone know here? A Burger King. Burger King in Walmart. A problem? Anybody ever get up and say, don't go into Walmart, there's a Burger King? Any Jewish person ever go into that Burger King? No. Walmart sells unsneed stick of clothing, thousands of items that aren't kosher. No problem. Why? Why not? Why aren't we looking at all the trefa stuff? Why aren't we throwing that into our cart? And the answer is that eating treif is a moment. It affects your neshama. It doesn't destroy who you are. Yitzhara, he's done with that stuff. Used to be when I was growing up, Cracker Jacks, all the unkosher stuff, that was the Yitzhara. He's done with that. That's not the Yitzhara anymore. The Yitzhara today is time. He wants to take, it's a battle between God, between the real world and the fake world. Where is she going to invest her time? That is the battle of this generation. That is the battle of the Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach. There are two worlds. There are parallel worlds. You can find in the fake world everything you can find in the real world. You can find fake roses and fake flowers. You can even send fake roses on the screen. Send a dozen of fake roses. So everything is in this world. It's a battle between the two for your time. Yitzhak says, spend time in Hashem's world. Yitzhak says, spend, just push enter. Come into my world. That's the battle. He's not worried about ShopRite. He wants your time, because that's your essence. That's who you are. ShopRite is food. It's not your Yitzhak anymore. We don't even have a Yitzhak for that stuff. Yitzhak is for your time. And we are falling, everybody, we are falling into, whether it's a cell phone or the internet or all that stuff, we are wasting so much time. We need to stop wasting time. That's the disease. And if you correct that, the filter will help, but you're not going to even need it, because you're not going to really want to go anywhere that you're not supposed to, because I'm not interested. That's not real. It's fake. It's false. It's not true. All the emotions I'm going to feel, whether it's happiness or sadness or all it is, it's bluff. I, as Rabbi Wallace, I am not willing. I have seen real pain in my life. I am not willing to cry over a movie. There's no way that I'm going to waste my emotions on something that isn't true. And I am not going to be happy from something that's fake, because I have seen real simcha. I have been involved in real simcha. I have danced and screamed Shema Yisrael at the top of my lungs, and my heart was so happy. I've been in by Rosh Hashanah, by Yechoy, and Lag BaOmer in a different world. In a real, real place of simcha. I'm not going to be happy by watching some stupid movie. That's not going to make me happy. It's not real. It's going to be finished. And what happens at the end of the movie? Nothing. Nothing. And the happiness, the real happiness, it's in you forever. Every time I think of that, of Lag BaOmer, I'm like, wow. That's what you need to work on, especially in the summer, because the summer is the best movies come out in the summer. The best movies, they're called blockbusters. They bust your whole block. They're called blockbusters. Why do they put the best movies out in the summer? Because in the summer is when you have the most time. He's fighting for your time. So they wait, they hold those movies, all the best stuff, till the summer. Now she has time. We can have one movie after another movie after another movie. You can sit a whole week and watch it. And that's, they wait. Because he knows that he puts it out during the year when you're doing your work, you're doing your schoolwork, you're not going to the movies because you got work to do. Now you have time. So now I want your time. So now we're going to put out all the best. It's all planned. It's all a big master plan. So now I want all your time. So you've got to be smart enough to fight it and to start thinking on how I could use my time. There's so many nice girls in this room that could make so many people smile. Go to a house, go to an old age home. All those old men, you're going to walk in there and say, how you doing?
with a big smile, you're like, oh, she loves me. Chaim, I'm 95. Look, the girl said something nice to me. See? I didn't lose it. You see? See, they still like me. He's 95 years old, right? And he's so happy. The guy hasn't smiled in 30 years. You walk in there. A nice Jewish girl came to visit me today. She said something nice to me. When I was 14, 15 years old, I started playing drums. And we decided, me playing drums and my friend who plays piano, drums and piano never go together, ever. And then I had one more friend who played saxophone. And all three of us had just started playing. So I didn't really know how to play the drums. He didn't really know how to play saxophone. And this guy didn't really know how to play piano. We knew how to play Hava Nagila. And we knew how to play by Meir Bistashain. By Meir Bistashain is from the 1800s, right? By Meir Bistashain, and then, right? That's all we knew how to play. So we came to this nursing home. I'll never forget it. And I was like, drums in a nursing home. Can you imagine old people? Drums, with, right? And a piano and a guy playing saxophone. It sounded like, I don't know what, right? So they put all these people in front of us. They wheeled them all in. I'll never forget it in Muncie. They wheeled them all in and we're sitting there. And well, my friend, there was another friend, Oshie Longo. He thinks he was a singer. We thought we had this whole thing going, right? He thought he was like a big singer. We also figured that they're deaf anyway, so it doesn't make a difference, right? And we got up there. I'll never forget it the first Friday. But maybe that helped. Maybe that's what ignited me to do what I'm doing. I can't even say not, because we got up there, and they were fresh. They were like old, and some of them were like on oxygen and all that stuff. And I remember Oshie getting up and saying, "So, my name is Oshie Langzam, and this is my band." And they were like, all the people were going like this, and we were like, "Yeah, right." And he said, "Okay, we're going to sing Hava Nagila," and the ladies, right? Most of them are not from. It's the only Jewish song that they knew, right? The place was rocking. Rocking. They were all singing Hava Nagila. And Oshie was going with, I remember he had a mic with a little thing. And he was like, here, he went over to the lady. He says, "Hey, you sing it." "Me? Yeah, you sing it." It was Olam Haba. What did we do? What did we do? We spent an hour and a half on Erev Shabbos. Instead of playing basketball, we went to these old people. And once we saw what we did that week, we were like, we have to do this every week. To make someone, so easy to make someone happy, it's so easy to make somebody happy. And they thought we were good, so it was like, made us happy too, you know. Okay, to a couple ladies in the back, "You're too loud, I can't be here, you're too loud." We had that also. And the ones in the front couldn't hear anything. But Lamaisa, it was beautiful. Try it. If you don't believe me, all of you, put the computer down and put the cell phone down and go volunteer in Palm Gardens or on Avenue C. Go in there. And I want to volunteer on Friday. Two, three girls. Go into the room where there's women, whatever it is, and sing for them. Imam Yaakov Baruch Hu is going to be smiling. You're going to make... Older people have a right to be happy, too. There's not an age where it says, "Oh, you're that old, you can't be happy. You're not allowed to be happy. You have to be grumpy." No such thing. There's no such thing. Little kids, old people, kids in trouble, kids that are not in trouble. Your own family comes first, of course. There's so much that you can do with your time. Stop entering the fake world. When you go home tonight and that computer's sitting on your desk next to your bed, look at that button that says enter and say, "No, not tonight. I am not entering your world." Then according to the Mefarshim on Yaakov Avinu, you held them down for that night, you're a winner. A bracha to all of you is you should have the courage to be winners. Tzlacha.